You are listening to The Bird Calls. For more breakdowns on the Pelicans, including interviews with coaches, journalists, and opposing experts, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. All right, what's up, Pels fans? We literally just finished recording 5 minutes ago, and we saw this late-breaking news that Rajon Rondo is now a Los Angeles Laker. And I have to say, I, for one, am absolutely devastated. I've been, I don't want to say in love, infatuated with Rajon Rondo, his game, his intelligence, what he brought to the Pelicans, just the swagger that he gave them, the confidence that he gave to Jrue Holiday and Anthony Davis and the squad as a whole. I am beside myself. The Los Angeles Lakers renounced Julius Randle so that they could offer Rajon Rondo $9 million. Now he's going to be paired in a backcourt with Lonzo Ball, you'd have to assume, or I can't imagine he's coming off the bench. So Kevin, does this insinuate that Lonzo Ball might be on the move sooner in a Kawhi Leonard trade?
I mean, I would think Lonzo Ball was always going to be on the move. I just don't see, I don't really see Rondo's fit with LeBron either, in the sense that, you know, it's similar to, like I said, it was a bad fit with Rondo and Boogie because, you know, Lonzo's a better, I don't know who's a better defender right now. I mean, Lonzo's a pretty good defender. Rondo's a good defender when he's engaged, but he's not always engaged, but neither of them are good shooters. And LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands, and you need guys who are off the ball shooters. So it's an interesting choice. They're building a crazy locker room experiment there, I'll tell you that. I actually made a joke about this move yesterday, and one of our group DMs, like, just joking, like, what if Rondo goes there to that locker room? It's insane. And now he has. So we're going to see that play out. But, man, I think Lonzo was always going to be on the move. I don't necessarily think he's going to the Spurs. I think they might move him somewhere else to get a pick or another player and then use that pick to either dump Luol Deng or to, strengthen the package for Kawhi or whatever. I just don't see LeBron being open to, the big baller brand stuff that comes along with that, plus also his poor fit with LeBron on the court as well. You factor in both of those two things, and I just think that was a marriage that wasn't going to last long. And Lonzo has value. I mean, he's coming off a rookie year. He's a very good playmaker for his age. He's a good defender. He is not a good shooter, but maybe somebody can fix that for him. And he's only making $7 million, I think, on his rookie deal. So it's like, you know, teams will definitely be interested in taking a chance on him. One team that I thought could possibly be a team in play, two of them really, is Atlanta, because, you know, obviously they want to get rid of Schroeder and they're trying to build, the Warriors light over there, and he could definitely be that Sean Livingston kind of guy there. But also Orlando, I think, would be a good spot for him and his family because, you know, Orlando is the home of Disney. They can do all that sort of stuff. It could be a boost for big baller brand as well. So, yeah, I never thought Lonzo was long there for the Lakers, but I think now you have to think he's definitely on the move.
Ollie, about a week ago, I'm beside myself. I am so upset. Dell Demps, of course, as well as Alvin Gentry, said that they both really wanted Rajon Rondo back. And there was that report, Ollie, a week ago by the radio content producer in Arizona predicting that Rajon Rondo wanted 2 years and $16 million. He said he had a credible source, and we didn't give it much mind. We thought that the Pelicans would be able to pull him back somewhere around $5 million annually, and now he's just signed a contract for $9 million annually. And this has kind of blown up in the Pelicans' faces, and it looks like, as of right now, that Elfrid Payton is their day one starter. Are you upset, Ollie?
No, I'm not upset. I'm just a little disappointed. I guess that's the best way to describe it. Because for all the reasons you just mentioned, for all the reasons we just saw over the season, how Rondo connected with our stars, how he became almost one of the team captains overnight, how his play elevated the play of the others around him. So that's what's going to be disappointing, because I can't foresee Alfred coming in. And even though they have very identical games, you got to understand Rondo's got years and years of experience, championship pedigree. And supposedly playoff Rondo exists, where he kind of turns it on and off. As for Elfrid Payton, he's played 4 years for a bunch of crappy teams, And yeah, to hand it, suddenly we're staring at the face of what him playing about 32 minutes a game for a guy that, you know, was unceremoniously traded for, what was it, Preston, you know better than me, was it just a second round pick or two of them from Phoenix Suns? And then the Suns just forwent his bird rights just by casting him off. So it doesn't look good. I'm hoping that Dell Demps has a plan B, C, and D that hopefully he can turn to.
Yeah, I hope it's Shabazz Napier right now. Tyreke Evans was also meeting with the Los Angeles Lakers, so this likely means that he will be available. And I honestly think a lot of Pelicans fans would probably be upset to see the Pelicans not just bring Tyreke Evans back. Obviously, he's a good player, and I gave you some of the reasons why earlier. But just to see the Pelicans kind of reverse their fortunes, kind of like a yo-yo at this point. I think they might want to see somebody new. That's just my own personal preference, and those names that we mentioned, Shabazz Napier, Ian Clark, Dante Exum, Isaiah Thomas, Shelvin Mack, Seth Curry, Shane Larkin. Kevin, how confident are you that Dell is going to bring in? Do you think the starting point guard on day one is on the roster right now, or do you think it's a move that Dell has yet to make?
I mean, that's tough to answer. I mean, I think, obviously, as we were saying before this news broke, that Elfrid Payton was either leverage or just a guy that they can use Rondo to mold, a guy that's similar but definitely doesn't have the IQ, basketball IQ that Rajon Rondo has. So while he's been a starter in this league, giving him the opportunity to start on a team with Jrue Holiday and Anthony Davis and Nikola Mirotic and possibly DeMarcus Cousins is asking a lot of him. He's not had that sort of pressure. So it's a little bit concerning. But, you know, at the same time, if Cousins were to come back and, you know, he's going to ease the load a little bit on playmaking because, you know, they're going to run some offense through him. Jrue's there. You're still going to need another guy. Hopefully Frank Jackson is a guy who can handle the ball and make some plays for you as well. But I mean, hey, he's been my guy all off season. Go get that trade exception trade for Thomas Satoransky. He solves two problems, point guard and the three, because he's 6'7", he can shoot, and he can play make, and he can rebound. So if Dell can find him or somebody like him to fill that role, I think that's something that they would have to look at. I think you definitely feel like there needs to be another addition in playmaking ability, and I just think that guy would be the perfect fit. But I mean, maybe there's others out there that you guys have in mind.
Ali, I don't know if this is possible, and go ahead.
No, go ahead, Preston.
Can we move Elfrid Payton's $2.7 million tender to the biannual exception and then use the full MLE on somebody like Avery Bradley?
Absolutely. But I like Kevin's point in that I think this may force Dell Demps to kind of hurry up and be more proactive on the trade market and go ahead and spend some future picks, you know, because this is a big loss. And I don't think, you know, sitting here thinking about for a few minutes, there's no way you can hand Elfrid Payton the keys on day one and expect Anthony Davis to be happy about it. You know, I don't see how the team could move forward, let alone kind of just maintain the same style and level of play we saw last season. And you know what, at the end of the day, the last thing we want to see is Jrue Holiday being moved back to point guard. I think that without a doubt, I'm just trying to get out of my thoughts here. But no, I think Jrue Holiday's got to stay a shooting guard. That's where he flourished. And the Pelicans don't want to put too much on his shoulders. And as we've just been saying, Elfrid Payton isn't ready. So maybe a move for Thomas Satoransky. Maybe somebody out there is available. I know when I came on, logged in, I heard you guys talking about Dennis Schroeder. Yeah, Dell Demps has got to do something to quickly patch this up. Because the Pelicans, while they've extended, that is Dell Demps and Alvin Gentry, they've got a couple years. I can't imagine Anthony Davis being happy about taking a step back and, you know, missing out on the playoffs. So they've got to put a competitive team enough out there to where, you know, everybody feels good about who they're playing with alongside one another.
I'm going to ask a follow-up. Sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys a follow-up question. All right, so we know we lost Rondo. Say for some reason we also lose Cousins, but you replace these two guys with Kylo Quinn, Satoransky, and Elfrid Payton. How do you feel about the team at that point?
I don't want to play this game. I don't want to just keep this musical chairs thing afoot. Like at some point, these guys keep preaching continuity. They keep preaching the relevance and the importance of chemistry, and they just keep blowing it up. And I know that it's at nobody's fault. Obviously, the Pelicans didn't have the money to spend on Rajon Rondo, but obviously the mid-level exception comes so close to this $9 million deal. It just reeks of some kind of misinformed communication that happened between the two parties, or maybe Rajon Rondo seeing Elfrid Payton being signed and less than 24 hours later jumping to Los Angeles with LeBron James, a guy who has been his adversary for the better part of his career. I don't know, Ollie. It seems like there's a lot of bad juju behind this. Does that appeal to you at all?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. What I'm seeing is that Rajon Rondo, we heard about the rumor, as you mentioned, 2 years, around $16 million. And he probably asked the Pelicans for something similar. You know, I took a pay cut last year, made a total of $6.3 million in taking a pay cut, and I played a lot better above my value, so I want more. So as soon as I think Elfrid Payton was signed for that $2.7 million, the Pelicans kind of basically cornered Rondo as to where, okay, we've spent some of that MLE money, so this is how much we've got left to pay you. And that would have been about $6 million. And guess what? He probably wasn't happy about it. And the fact that the Lakers, in fact, there were other better, way better offers, obviously, $9 million to $6 million, that's a huge difference. And he jumped on it, and you can't blame him. So, yeah, I think that, honestly, he, you know, what we just saw, Elfrid Payton getting signed, and it's basically taking it out of his checkbook, out of what he thought he was owed. So that kind of probably got under his skin, and he feels like he's worth more. Hey, that's how it works. NBA players all think they're worth more than they're usually getting paid, unless you're a top-tier guy making the max. So I'm not surprised by the move. Rondo still has a chance to win a championship. Like Kevin said, the biggest surprising thing, honestly, is the fact he'll have to play with LeBron, who, you know, as we all know, the days of Boston Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers, all those hard-fought battles and all the bitter feelings. But I guess you put that away when it's an extra $3 million.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Kevin, obviously, not everybody in Pelicans Nation is going to be as shook as I am. And obviously, you can tell that Ollie is disappointed as well. One of our other editors, David Fisher, is beside himself. And I'm so glad that he's not in this chat right now, or I think I would just mute him. Talk about try to shine a light on all of this, put a rainbow over this podcast, and tell us why losing Rajon Rondo is not the end of the world, and why the Pelicans can still be successful in 2018 without their point guard.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Rajon Rondo, so I'm not ecstatic or happy with this loss, but I still see that there's potential with the money that would have been spent on him to shore up other areas and other ways to improve the team. I mean, now you look at Julius Randle's on the market. Do the Pelicans make a play for him, or does he at least take up some of the market that now allows you to get Kylo Quinn because other people are trying to get Randle? Those kind of things will trickle down. So there's still moves to make to improve this team. But, I mean, at the end of the day, this team has Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday. It has solid. It has Nikola Mirotic. It possibly has DeMarcus Cousins. It probably still has Etuan Moore. And then you have guys that are maybe poised for breakouts and Cheick Diallo and Frank Jackson. So, and maybe a guy that's a reclamation project and Elfrid Payton. So there's, you can't be down on this team, especially as long as they have Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis on this team. You know, and Mirotic was great for us down the stretch. And I think, you know, we're still going to be very good with or without Rondo. I like this with Rondo, but I'm not gonna freak out over his departure because I want to see what we end up as the end result. I'm not gonna take every move and every loss. Even as I said, you know, we could have had Ed Davis and Glenn Robinson III with the MLE combined. We lost out on them, but I mean, you know, I got to see what the big picture is. You can't really look at it like that. Evaluate each individual move until you see the total outcome of the offseason. So I'm going to wait till fair judgment. But I do think losing Rondo is a little bit tough. You know, I mean, mainly for what he brought in the locker room and the bench. And his playmaking was great. He had his flaws on the court. So maybe you shore up those flaws on the court and lose those intangibles, hoping that he already instilled what he needed to into Holiday and Davis and Mirotic, those three pieces that we know are coming back.
Well, I can now see why the Pelicans might be interested in Tyreek Evans. He was set to have a meeting with the Los Angeles Lakers, and he now becomes the prime candidate, you would have to think, to come to New Orleans to either man that position or, in all likelihood, come off the bench as he did 2 years ago. Ali, when we watched the Portland series, obviously Anthony Davis, one of the best players in the world, the best player on our team. With that being said, with the way that he played, Nikola Mirotic, Drew Holiday, Rajon Rondo, those four players together were integral in winning that series and in sweeping that series. I don't want to take anything away from Etuan Moore, who played pretty remarkable defense, but offensively, he was a bit quieter in that series than he had been in the regular season. But Rajon Rondo put up incredible numbers. He just orchestrated great team basketball. The guys all talked about how he knew all of Portland's plays before the Portland players knew them. I don't think I can go on enough about how disappointing this is over something as minuscule to me as a difference of $3 million, as you preface this with. I guess I'll go ahead and close this up. If you want to offer some positivity to this, obviously there's still moves to be made. We remember last offseason, the Pelicans added Ian Clark in August. They brought in Rajon Rondo towards the end of summer league. There's still moves yet to be made. Try to offer some positivity to this podcast.
Okay, well, first of all, you got to realize, if you had asked us before this news, would anybody be happy? And we actually did discuss this. Would anybody be happy giving Rondo the full MLE? And I think every single one of us said no.
I did not. I said, and you can check my tweets. I was like, if that's what he wants, give it to him.
That's true. I remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Preston, you were one of the very, very, very few. So I think almost nobody would have liked to have seen the majority of the Pelicans' exception money go to one guy who really doesn't mesh all that well with the entire roster. And you've got to count Cousins whenever he does come back, because let's face it, those guys did not play together well. The team just didn't perform well because they butted heads too much, as to where Rondo was irrelevant on offense when DeMarcus was demanding the ball so much at the top of the key. And defensively, those two guys, you know, you can't put them together next one because there's going to be a lot of breakdowns. You know, they're both kind of really bad at covering space. So you look at it in the sense that, hey, okay, the Pelicans didn't overpay to keep somebody who, honestly, if you're bringing back Boogie, you know, you're bringing back this core that honestly didn't work all that well together. So there might be somebody else. And like I said, I agree with you. I think this Tyreek Evans, now the Pelicans chasing him, becomes really the biggest news, because last season, he I don't know how many people watched him play other than the Memphis matchups with the Pelicans, but you know what? He looked really, really, really good. The only thing you've got to wonder about, can he play a little bit more of a team-oriented game to where it satisfies and appeases, you know, every player plus the coaching staff? And I think he's got it within him, because he's still not done in this league. He's a very competitive player, and he knows a lot of our guys. So they're friends. I know that AD and Tyreek, they're really good friends. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. There are still options out there. So let's hope that Dell can cash in on one of these few remaining options, because, you know, they need to. We don't need to discuss Alfred anymore, but I'm not ready to give him the full reins yet.
One thing I would say about all this that I find interesting is that, like, you know, we've seen in the past people take pay cuts to play with LeBron, or to go play in Golden State, or, you know, go play in Houston, whatever. But, like, it seems like the Lakers are overpaying for the guys that they're getting, which is weird to me. Do you guys feel that way? Like, I mean, you're getting Rondo at $9 million, Lance at what do you got, like 4.6? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 12, which maybe is about right around where he would get from other teams, but considering that you're gonna go play with LeBron, you could see them taking less of a payday to do for that opportunity. You guys feel that way too?
I don't think so at all. I think this is a really cunning move on Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson's part, in that they have several movable contracts right now. They're all 1 year deals, so even I think what they're doing right now is they're saying, hey, if we don't get a star this year, we've put enough guys around you that you can win 50 games. And then at the end of the season, they'll all be gone. If we're not able to acquire a superstar in that time, all these guys are going to come off the books, and then we can go into the 19 offseason where there are, and I'll let Ali talk, and then I'll talk about, actually, if I scroll really quickly, I can find all the free agents that are going to be available. Karl Anthony Towns, if he took his qualifying offer, which he probably won't. Kristaps Porzingis, Klay Thompson, Tobias Harris, Ricky Rubio, DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, the Morris Twins, Alec Burks, Wilson Chandler. Not a great crop to join Kawhi Leonard, but in 20, you've got Anthony Davis, Gordon Hayward, Mike Conley, Damian Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, CJ McCollum, Otto Porter, Rudy Gobert, Bradley Beal, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Victor Oladipo, Kyle Lowry, Al Horford, Paul Millsap, Harrison Barnes, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, Draymond Green. So I think they're putting enough pieces around him to keep him happy in the interim, but now they've got a lot of pieces that they can move if they need to make a trade. And if they can't, then they've got the flexibility to bring in guys in the next summer or in the summer of 2020.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Preston. I see the Lakers are going to make a move. When you're suddenly filling out the entire roster, Rondo wasn't brought in to be a backup. KCP is going to be a starter. Suddenly, I honestly think that two of the three guys, Kuzma, Ingram, and Ball, two of the three are going to have a different location by the trade deadline.
Ali, do you think Boogie goes to Los Angeles?
Not anymore, because Rondo just, what was it, the Julius Randle renouncing him opened up about 13 some million, and by Rondo now getting 9, there's just no way. I mean, well, yeah,
if they offloaded Mike Tang, yeah,
but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm lost at this point to what the Lakers are doing, especially around LeBron James. So I'm not going to say no.
All right, what do you think the future is for Julius Randle, Kevin?
I don't know. I mean, I thought that Dallas was going to make a push for him, but they were steady locked into DeAndre. So I thought maybe Dallas would be his destination. Possibly you could see him ended up taking a 1-year deal, maybe if all the money's dried up, and then try to reenter free agency again next year once everything clears up again. But it's hard to see him wanting to go to a team that it's not winning. Maybe you could see him going to Boston or Philly. I could see that happening because, you know, Philly's said to have been interested in adding another big man. You know, Kylo Quinn was mentioned. They lost Ilyasova. And I think, you know, they always want to have some Embiid insurance because you never know if he's going to have to miss some games or some time. You know, he's not fully out of the woods yet, I guess. And then, you know, I think Boston's always wanted some rim protection and another guy who can, he's a guy that can facilitate some. He's not a great outside shooter, but he would probably work well with Al Horford. So I could see him taking a 1-year flyer with one of those teams that, you know, sort of guarantees him a shot at the playoffs. Well, obviously a clear path to the playoffs in the East. Maybe those are the two spots.
I'm thinking the opposite. I think because he suddenly can't get his max, he's staring at still wanting to get paid. So I can see, like, say, an Atlanta Hawks take advantage of this situation, pay him about $4 to $5 million less a year, sign him to a multi-year deal. And he's going to be part of that core they're bringing up or any of the rebuilders, you know? I think they're staring at a deal right now out there.
I mean, even the Suns, because, you know, Tyson Chandler is going to come off the books next year. And I don't know if I think they like Bender, but I think they've kind of given up on Chris, and having Randle play center for them would be kind of good, I think.
All right. Just to wrap things up, obviously, Dell Demps has a lot of work to do, and I've given him my fair share of criticism in the past. If he's able to pull this off and get to next summer and get that 5-year, $235 million to Anthony Davis, then obviously he deserves every accolade in the world, including General Manager of the Year. But he certainly has his work cut out for him. There are still a bevy of moves that the Pelicans can make. It might even include, as I've been preaching all summer, waiting to make that trade to the trade deadline when Alexis Ajensa and Solo carry a bit more value. However, at this point in time, Solomon Hill might be important. In this case, the Pelicans aren't able to acquire a 3 on the market. He might be relied upon to give them 20 minutes a game, and they might have to hope that he can regain some of that 2016-17 form. So we'll have to see. Thank you to Ollie and Kevin for jumping back on here, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Let's go, Pels.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to the Bird Calls on OTG and Nothing But Net here on Dash Radio. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.